Acts chapter 2, verses 29 through 34. The third and final primary section of Scripture dealing with the resurrection, which I want to treat in context, is Acts chapter 2, verses 29 through 34. This passage is important because Peter reveals in this passage his point of view on death, and it is safe to assume that this point of view was shared by Christ and all the apostles. Acts 2, verse 29 says, "Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulchre is with us unto this day." It is important to understand that the dominant faction in the Jews' religion was the Pharisees. The Pharisees believed in an afterlife. I believe this view crept into the Pharisees' version of Judaism by the influence of the pagan Greeks. The Hebrew word for the grave, Sheol, have been translated into Greek as Hades, and have begun to take on some of the characteristics of Hades as well. The Old Testament view is clearly that the dead are unconscious and in their graves, but the reason that Peter prefaces his statement with this, "Let me freely speak to you," is because Peter's view was not universally held to be true, and he is begging tolerance. The pagan belief in an afterlife is a very appealing point of view, and had found a home also among the Jews. I will get further into this in detail in the very next section when I begin to tackle the objections, specifically the parable of Lazarus and the rich man. The perspective on David, the person, is that he is both dead and buried. He is not with the Lord or in a better place. He has not passed on or transitioned from one plane of existence to another. David was and is yet dead and buried. Peter is looking at one of the greatest figures in the history of Israel, and he is trying to establish the fact that this man, David, is really and truly dead. Acts chapter 2, verse 30. "Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne." David is considered a prophet, and one only need to consult the Psalms to understand why. In Psalm 22, for example, David reveals many details about the death of the Messiah, and that passage has supported my faith in many dark moments. David also wrote many of the Psalms which we turn to for understanding the Old Testament view of death. David knew that out of his loins God would raise up the Messiah. Acts 2, verse 31. "He, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither did his flesh see corruption." Peter refers to Psalm 16, and this is a verse I have referenced over and over. This verse is definitive. This verse tells us what happens to the soul when the body dies. It is not glamorous, exciting, or gratifying to man. That is why so many choose to deny this truth. The soul is left in hell. That is how the Apostle Peter talked. That is what the Old Testament taught. That is what Christ and all the apostles believed and taught. Psalm 16, verse 10. "For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thy Holy One to see corruption." Christ's soul was not left in hell. The Hebrew word sheol, which means the grave. Eventually, I will have to do a new paper on the hells, perhaps next, because there are several words translated hell, as I have mentioned, and they do not all refer to the same thing. All souls go to the grave, but only Christ's soul was not left in the grave. When I die, I will go to hell with everyone else, just as Christ did, and I will make my bed in hell. Psalm 139, verse 7. "Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up to heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. And I will sleep there in hell until the last day," John 6, as Christ taught. The difference with Christ is that he rose from the dead and became the first begotten from the dead, as I referenced earlier. Acts 2, verse 10. "For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thy Holy One to see corruption." I will see corruption, but he did not. My soul will remain in hell, but his did not. Except by the promise of God in Christ of the resurrection for them that believed, my soul would be lost. Acts 2, verse 32. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. I am a firm believer in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. When my faith wavers, that is the rock I lean on. Christ is certainly risen. We have his burial cloth, but not his body. Acts 2, verse 33. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed forth this which ye now see and hear. By this, Peter is referring to the shedding forth of the Holy Spirit, which resulted in the apostles and disciples speaking with other tongues. Christ had promised that after he had risen and ascended into heaven, he would send forth the Spirit of God to dwell in those who believed in him, and the speaking with tongues was a sign of the fulfillment of that promise. Acts 2 verse 34, For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou at my right hand, until I make thy foes thy footstool. David is dead and buried. His position is in the grave. His position is not heavenly. He has not ascended into heaven. Only Christ has ascended into heaven. Only Christ's soul has not been left in the grave until the last day.